welcome to our annual roundup of the best of the news quiz for 2002. We start, as always, with a cutting, read by Charlotte Green.
A Nigerian arrested in Roosendaal, the Netherlands, was carrying 186 false papers, including 29 Nigerian passports, 30 British passports, 74 Dutch work permits, and 18 birth certificates. Police say they haven't yet identified.
You know, when New Labour came to power 5 years ago, some people thought they might not make the best subjects for biting satire, being bland, dull, and terribly managerial. It would be like trying to make gags about an accountancy firm. How wrong we were. And why is New Labour going soft on crime, soft on those who commit crime?
It's a good question, Simon. The government is reclaiming the streets. This is what David Blunkett, the Home Secretary, said. It's time to reclaim the streets, which is a slogan that he's nicked, I think, from the anti-globalism protesters. Now, I thought that was a bit alarmist. I don't want to hear the Home Secretary saying, "My God, it's a jungle out there." And I think Tony said, "Right, David, you go out with an iron bar after 8 o'clock. They've given him a Rottweiler as a blind dog. Basically, there's going to be a huge clampdown on crime because there's a whiff of panic."
What they're also going to do is tag people, more people, aren't they?
So you can spot them.
It's sort
of... You've
got
to be mugged. You've got to keep your eyes at about ankle level.
Yeah.
And if you see a bloke with a winking electronic belt on his ankle, you run.
You run.
And complicated policy, but it might just work.
What about all these packs of dogs that are going to be redundant after fox hunting's banned? Surely, if they train the dogs to chase men in stripy jumpers with bags with swag written on them, that would be helpful.
They'd just go after the urban fox, and the urban fox would run down an alley and then turn around and say, "All right, want some, do ya?" Stop and search only works, though, doesn't it, if it's completely universal, if everybody is stopped and searched all the time. And I don't think I want to leave. I'd rather be mugged occasionally than shaken down by the police. Even I don't want to know what's in some of my pockets.
Andy, your question, why is the Home Secretary in a very mellow mood?
Basically, under the proposals, smoking cannabis will be less illegal, but selling cannabis will be more illegal. I hope that's cleared it up. I only read the coverage of this story in the Daily Mail for 3 days, so I was under the impression that cannabis had been made compulsory. And that David Blunkett was going to come round with squads of policemen and force-feed dope to me. But that's it. Basically, the police are going to be given discretionary powers, and they're going to be able to seize and warn.
Well, there's also a sense that nobody really had understood it, because one of the things that David Blunkett said, we won't arrest anybody unless there's a threat to public order. Well, nobody who's smoking cannabis can be asked to do anything. a threat to public order. And then Oliver Letwin said, "The thing is, we've decriminalised it, but, I mean, our children have still got to buy this from criminals." And he was making it sound like it really ought to be a commercial opportunity.
Mark, one very much for you. Who's been pouring oil on troubled fires?
Well, this could be an assortment of government ministers, I suppose, who keep telling the fire brigade union that they have to modernise. And then they say this in this Gothic building that is officially opened once a year by a man in garters who bangs a black rod on a door and then walks backwards so that everybody can say, "Hear, hear, honourable member," as they stand around a mace. And so I suppose the idea that they're coming up with is that they want to modernise the fire service, presumably in the way that they've modernised other services, which means that the fire engine will turn up and you'll have to pay a top-up fee before they actually hose anything down. But it'll be modernised, so there will be a Starbucks on the back of every fire engine. So I suppose the fire service should be modernised the same way that, that Parliament has been modernised, so that if you ring up with a 999 call, they say, "Well, apparently there's a fire," and everybody goes, "Oh, here, here, here," and then they pledge to put out a white paper on the issue, and then about 6 months later, some civil servants start to put together a bit of a plan of how they're going to put the fire out, but then it never comes to anything because there's a second unelected fire service that it has to go to first. which is run by ancestors of 13th century firemen and Melvin Bragg.
Well, but the answer to the question who is presumably Prescott, is it?
Yes.
The token Englishman in the government.
I think I've got this right. There was one interview last week where he was talking about the fire service, and I think what he said was, well, I mean, like, it was dumped on my lap, and I'm asking to be, why do you asking? And do you know, those stubborn firemen, they wouldn't even agree to that. No wonder they can't do a deal. If you agreed to anything Prescott said, you'd have agreed to put out a fire in three separate tenses at once.
John Prescott said he's has enough of striking firemen. He prefers hitting members of the public. But if the Labour government had problems, they were as nothing compared to the ongoing horrors faced by the Conservative Party. After months of backbiting about his leadership, Ian Duncan Smith decided the time had come to take tough, decisive action.
Francis, who faces a quiet revolution?
I don't know why that's appropriate. Well, I think it's my old protégé, Mr. IDS. So good, they named him thrice, but then reduced him to an abbreviation. No-one could be bothered to mention his name at all in headlines if he insisted on having it spelt out. And Duncan Smith thought he would lance the boil by holding a press conference and delivering this amazing statement saying, unite or die. It's always a mistake. Roman Major did that. He said, back me or sack me, and all sorts of Tory MPs thought, well, actually, now you mention it.
I think he's obviously, he's a student of political history, Duncan Smith, isn't he? And I think he obviously...
He is political history.
And I think he was obviously thinking of that old Lyndon B. Johnson adage, and he said about internal plotters, you know, he said he would rather have them inside the tent pissing out rather than outside the tent pissing in. But it seems to me that Ian Duncan Smith's got the worst of both worlds now. Because they're inside the tent and they're pissing on him. Which I think is... But he made that most serious of errors, which is not giving the press what they want, didn't he? Because he said he was going to make a personal statement, which in tabloid press speak means resignation or Ulrika Jonsson affair, doesn't it? It was a terrible tease. I watched it, and it was all in the past tense. I have led this party to the best of my ability. You could sense the disappointment. It was all foreplay and no orgasm, wasn't it, as far as the journalists were concerned. So he's now annoyed the journalists. But you could have a great time, Francis, with your uncanny similarity to him, because now, with war breaking out in the Tory party, you could go round to Portillo's house in the dead of night and tap on his window and say, I can see what you're doing.
All this has given rise to a new joke among medically inclined Tory MPs. What's the difference between IDS and IBS? One is an unpleasant pain in the backside, and the other is irritable bowel syndrome.
I think it's time for you to tell the world what you just told me about Duncan Smith. Do you feel ready for it? It's like the giant rat of Sumatra, a story for which the world is not yet prepared.
Well, apparently...
This is exactly like
the giant rat of Sumatra,
it is,
apparently.
Yes.
A former girlfriend of his claims that there is a giant rat nestling in Duncan Smith's pants.
He'd have noticed, wouldn't he?
Is that a euphemism? That's... Not a real rat, is it?
No, but he's enormous, she said.
So how identical are you to this man?
This is why I'm trying to spread this story around a bit in the hope that people will assume.
It's terrible, there's going to be this road accident and they'll arrive and the pathologist will say, no, I think this one's Francis Weaver.
A primary school's new £75,000 toilet block was opened yesterday with a blessing. The Bishop of Lancaster, the Right Reverend Stephen Pedley, recited a special prayer and splashed water onto the walls. For the Queen, it was a year of two halves. Her Golden Jubilee was a great success. But just when she thought this was going to be an annus terrificus, along came a certain butler.
Jeremy, which rock gods are set to save the Queen?
Elizabeth, to celebrate the fact that she has been queen for longer than anyone can remember or cares about, is having a modern toe-tapping concert at Buckingham Palace with some of the top combos from the hit parade. Thomas Jones, the Welsh coal miner's daughter. And Phil Collins.
It's going to add a new meaning to records called Queen in Concert.
What are you going to do a bit? Is she going to compare or something?
Give it up! Do you feel all right? And how long have you been feeling all right? Marvellous, carry on.
I think they should just go the whole hog and transfer Glastonbury up to Buckingham Palace. That'll and she'll enjoy that, seeing Buckingham Palace turned into a human toilet. If it isn't already, who knows?
It is mostly dreadful, but people like Phil Collins, people say, oh, you say what you like about Phil Collins, he's very popular. He's not popular. Nobody thinks Phil Collins is bloody fantastic. Tired people find him bearable.
Is he better than Christa Berg?
Well, there's... Oh. Why did Christa Berg cross the road to get to the middle?
So, Andy, why didn't the butler do it?
I think let's start at the really important constitutional issue that this whole business has thrown up, because it was all triggered by the trial of Paul Burrell, and I think that raises the question of just what else has the Queen forgotten? I mean, how bad is her memory? I mean, what's to prevent her next week? She's in a car, you know, on some royal trip with Prince Charles and Prince Philip. You know, what's to stop her saying, do you know, Charles, I've just remembered you're not my son? I mean, it just doesn't ring true. The dialogue doesn't sound right. I mean, he said to Her Majesty, you only spoke in black and white. The princess spoke in colours. Now, the Queen's next words aren't recorded, but... My guess is it was, who are you, you ridiculous little man?
I mean, am I alone in thinking that the butler looks a little bit like Camp Will Carling? It's exactly the same desperate Dan chin, but a slightly more tremulous lip.
You're not suggesting, surely.
Will Carling has a masculine side. No, I don't.
He is not a real butler anyway, because I went all the way through that transcript. Right. Not once does he say, you rang, m'lady.
A toy firm has axed a vibrating replica of Harry Potter's broomstick after mums complained their daughters spent too long riding it.
Two topics which always please our panel are animals and body parts, and sometimes both together. Sandy, does my bum look big in this?
Yes. Next.
Francis, why?
Boys are getting fatter, that's the fact of the matter. All boys are getting fatter, and the amount that a boy is getting fatter is in direct proportion to the number of times he wants to go to my supermarket without a shirt on. It is one of my complete bugbears, and I'd like to broadcast this on national radio. There isn't a man in Britain who looks good without a shirt on. Not one. Please don't do it in the frozen food section, or particularly, particularly near the root vegetables. It is really... horrible. Honestly, I can't check the melons for ripeness. It really is.
We look fatter because men are doing more cooking. Because it used to be that the only time we held cooking tools was the barbecue, and the forks are really long. So when you hold one of them, you look really small in proportion. But when you do real cooking in the kitchen, then you're just holding a small fork, which is only about 4 inches long, and you think, God, he's grown that one. That's what it is.
Jeremy, the fact that Jamie Oliver pretends to cook on television is not a social trend.
It's
not
true.
Mean...
And he really likes things from Sainsbury's. They don't pay him to say that.
I saw him in Lidl's last week.
Did you? Lidl's makes Summerfield look like Waitrose, doesn't it? Lidl sells things like wine-flavoured drink. It's attractive when men are a bit fat. Women always say that about men. Oh, well, I think it's a bit... Oh, yeah, love handles. You want something to get hold of, don't you? Oh, yeah.
Jeremy, what dream world are you...
All right,
it
Sandy...
It may be that I'm the last woman in Britain to comment on this, but really...
Other women, Sandy, say this.
Do they?
All other women.
All those women going, all right. Men are cooking and I like it best when they're really fat.
Really fat and bald and incontinent. It's distinguished. I love when people say things like that. They say, oh, I think it's a few streaks of white hair. Oh, yeah, they're distinguished. On the head, perhaps, to make the penis look like a badger, don't they?
You go back to Lidl, so...
I have to admit, I do buy things from Lidl's. There are some things. If you're selective, you know, it's good.
Norman.
But you've got to take what?
It's legal to steal from Lidl.
Francis, whose new idea should be taken at face value?
Yes, I did read about this. It was someone who was described as a top plastic surgeon. I don't know if there are bottom plastic surgeons as well, but there probably are. But this chap actually lived up to his billing because he's all about tops. He gave a speech saying that complete face transplants will be possible within, I think, 6 months, he claims. And this was reported as if it was news, that it's going to be a great breakthrough. In fact, they've been going on for years, as some of us know to our cost, after that awful incident in the Casablanca clinic I had with Ian Duncan Smith. But anyway, they're getting made available to all very soon.
So we have to carry donor cards saying, in the event of my being knocked down by a 653 bus, I would like my face to go too. I'd have to think about that a bit. I've got one for the kidneys. I don't mind that. I mean, you can't recognise my kidney from somebody else. But I really want, you know, my face suddenly appearing in the Minor of Manor House in 40 years' time. My children a bit of a shock to see their father coming back. I thought we'd buried him.
I mean, if you were hit by the bus, I mean, you'd have a certain expression on your face as well. So somebody's going to be walking about like... What if you're a male adult donor of a certain age, right, and you die at the point of, you know, physical entertainment with a lady?
No, it's only the face you're giving.
Well, but my face changes. You've got some poor donee walking about with that expression on his face. Oh! And I... Oh. Do you like my new coat? Oh! I commend this budget statement to the House.
Is that the expression that Scottish people make?
Well, it's... Oh.
Same expression they make for, oh, your tea's ready.
Well, it does usually have the word Kirsty involved as well. Oh, Kirsty. I'm ever so grateful.
Britain's nude bulls team has won a sponsorship deal from Persil to pay for kit for the Sports Naturist World Cup. The 10 competing couples are allowed to wear socks and trainers to protect their feet from the gravel, and they'll use the sponsored towels to wipe their bulls.
Linda, what is curling?
That's a very good question, actually. Well, of course, England have a gold medal in curling.
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. England.
It's Scotland. They all... It's Britain. It's Britain.
How dare you?
England and allied countries.
It's our gold.
Britain have a gold in the curling.
Yeah, it'll probably be... Britain will have a gold, but Scotland will have a silver. That'll be how it'll work.
Housework on ice is what it is. They throw a paperweight across an ice rink and then these ladies furiously dust in front of it to clear the path because they don't, you know, they like a tidy ice rink. You know, there's no, so anyone could drop round, see your ice rink in a state, and that would be awful, wouldn't it? So I think we're also doing quite well in the...
defrosting the fridge. A lot of bronze for worktops.
Yeah, and I think in the free-form bath cleaning, we're doing nicely. They've invented things for us, haven't they?
Yes.
That we're good at tidying up.
The sack race, going down the north face of the Eiger in a sack. The British Eiger. Talking about. Three-legged skiing. Three-legged ski jump would bring the roses to their cheeks.
Nuneaton Borough and Rugby United are both looking forward to the prospect of mouth-watering in the third round of the FA Trophy.
I'm being very... Try it again. Let's see. We liked it when we heard it.
This is very, very funny.
Give the kid a chance.
Nuneaton Borough and Rugby United are both looking forward to the prospect of mouth-watering in the third round of the FA Trophy.
No, they were clapping your delivery, Brian, not laughing at the joke.
Alan, who decided if you want to get ahead, get a reptile?
This is a woman, it's a young woman, of 17. Came through customs with a chameleon on her head. The thing is, a chameleon obviously approximated itself to her, and it just looked like a blonde wig or something. But then she passed, as you always do in an airport, a branch of Tyrak, and her head went tartan. And a very, very, very smart customs man said, "That's a chameleon." And I think she got away with it. I don't know what they did. They impounded it, presumably. I suppose it's illegal to bring a chameleon into this country. I don't know why. Make a wonderful politician.
The important thing about this story is what we're not being told. Because obviously this chameleon that tried to disguise itself as a hat was inexperienced. An unskilled chameleon that got caught. But how many... We just don't know how many more skillful reptiles are coming into this country illegally disguised as headgear. We've no idea. I've not seen any figures.
That may not be the limit of it. You know, they may have come in as hats and now they're posing as postmen. Navy commanders, you don't know, do you? It would explain a lot.
Professional stand-up chameleons, they're terrible things. Oh, but there's nice alternative chameleons we used to have.
Andy, listen to this.
That is Charles Aznavour before he learnt the words. I don't need the question on this.
Okay.
But this is this wonderful story about this lady who's received a grant. She's a poet. She received a grant of £2,000 to write a poem and then paint all the individual words of the poem on the backs of her sheep. And then she lets the sheep roam around the fields on the basis that, in accordance with sort of the random theory of quantum dynamics, that these sheep will keep rearranging themselves into new poems. Now, what puzzles me is that the words are written on the backs of the sheep, and it's quite a big field, so I think the reader will have to be 180 feet high, which I think is a bit discriminatory.
John will tell you that you only write on sheep after they've had Congress, don't you? They're tupped, and you get red. And you can't sort of write; it'll confuse the sheep. They'll walk around saying, "Have I had daffodils this week, or was that last week?" I think I'll have a go at Immemorial this morning. You put paint on sheep only to show they've been inseminated.
You're supposed to write on sheep after sex.
Yeah, otherwise
your whole life is wasted now. Yeah. That diary's up the spout.
Yeah, otherwise they complain. They say, "You never write."
Very poetic and literate sheepdogs out there. And they're going, "Come boy, pentameter, come boy." Come boy, sonnet.
Locals have reacted favourably to the project and say they really like the sheep poetry, especially with new potatoes and mint sauce. The project has been so successful that a new post of sheep poet laureate has been created for one of the sheep, who's now known as Andrew Mutton.
Kate, a medical secretary, and David, a doctor, have been married 30 years and have a daughter of 23. 3 years ago, David decided he didn't want sex anymore. They now live in Hertfordshire.
Let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This was sent to me by my friends Emma and Martin in Winchester, and it's from the Winchester and Mid-Hampshire Observer. and the editor is replying to a letter who's condemning homosexuality, saying it's wrong because the Bible says so. And the editor replies, "Good point, well made, Mr. Duncan. As you say, it clearly states in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, that homosexuality is an abomination. Which reminds me, there's a couple of things I need a little guidance on. Firstly, if I wanted to sell my daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21, 7, how much could I expect to make from such a deal? Also, my colleague Pete sometimes insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself? Or is it okay to get some outside help? Lastly, does the whole city really have to be together to stone my brother John for planting different crops side by side? And when I burn my mother for wearing garments made from two different threads, do I torch her whole or just a bit?"
Linda.
Well, this was sent in by Barry Davis from the Gwent Gazette. "The next dance and social evening at the Orpheus Music Centre Hall will be on Saturday. Music will be provided by the Dave Charles Band. Price of tickets will be £2.50 and it includes faggots and peas for refreshments. Go along and hear their version of The Wind Beneath My Wings."
Francis.
This is from my local paper, the East Anglian Daily Times. It's a classified ad. "One square paving slab, 2 foot by 3 foot, £2 or nearest offer. Must sell, needs space urgently."
Alan.
I've got this mild-mannered cutting, Simon, from the Western Daily Press. His councillor, Harry Parks, security liaison executive, said, "The police can't keep going round all the time to see what is going on. We all know that certain goings-on do go on at night, and the darkness does encourage what goes on. But it doesn't do any good to keep going on about it."
We'll be back in February for our next series and hope very much you can join us then. In the meantime, here's a cutting read by Harriet Cass. It comes with best wishes for a very Merry Christmas Day and a Happy New Year.
A news report reaches us from America, where a patient was diagnosed as clinically depressed and was scheduled for controversial shock therapy, until it was discovered that he was not depressed, merely Scottish.
And with that, goodbye!
The Musicals of the Year was presented by Simon Hoggart, with Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Linda Smith, Jeremy Hardy, Francis Wheen, Sandy Toksvig, Mark Steele, Sue McGregor, Fred McCauley, Dr. Phil Hammond, Miles Kington, and Norman Lovett. The newsreaders were Charlotte Green, Corey Caulfield, Brian Perkins, Harriet Cass, and me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, George Coles, Simon Littlefield, and Paul McKenzie. The producers were Lucy Armitage and...